What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And on The Stack, we talk about a bunch of books that come out this week, kicking it off with Radiant Black, number one from Image Comics, written by Kyle Higgins, art by Marcelo Costa. This is, of course, as you could probably tell from the number one, a totally new book. And the premise is a down-on-his-luck author who has not gotten jobs for a while, heads back home, encounters something weird, and may or may not become some sort of a superhero. Pretty typical setup, but I really liked how this was executed. Personally, I thought the designs were great, and I'm very excited to read this going forward. What did you guys think?
I agree. I was really kind of impressed with this setup. I mean, you know, just like seeing this guy cry when he goes through early kind of really makes you like, oh, you know, you're rooting for this person. And then just kind of the way he kind of like falls into it is very interesting. And the design of the suit and stuff is really fantastic. I think this does a great job of getting you excited for a new series.
Yeah, this had some vibes of Invincible to me, very much early Kirkman stuff. And both in the writing and the art. And yeah, it was an interesting launch. I was very triggered by like a writer who struggles to work. Because, you know, that's a constant stress.
The douchey friend reminded me of you.
Oh, that's so interesting. The animal, I think it was like some sort of hamster or rat that was dead next to the tracks, reminded me of you.
Oh, wow. That's really fucked up.
So in the back matter, Kyle Higgins talks a little bit about how he was inspired while he was writing Power Rangers, and that really firmed a bunch of stuff up in my mind for me about what was going on here. But I think what he's done is he found a really grounded way of taking this Power Rangers concept, making it feel fresh, make it feel new, it's a lot of fun. I'm excited to read more of this. Next up, Sweet Tooth Return, number four from DC Comics, written and art by Jeff Lemire. We get some big answers here about what's been going on with this rebooted Sweet Tooth. Justin, I know you've been concerned about the end game here, so how did you feel about this issue?
This issue did a lot for me. I think we got to learn a lot of sort of the backstory here, and what I love about the take here, and it reminded me of a lot of the later stuff, the later arcs on the original Sweet Tooth. The way that Jeff Lemire combines in the writing the ideas of scientists who become religious fanatics, sort of breaking that dichotomy between science and religion and showing that the real danger is when fanatical people actually have the tools they need to cause real problems for the planet. That's when we as a society get into trouble. I think it's on display again here. And it's just, this is such a great issue to really flesh out the mythology. We get to hear a little bit of why the people in charge of this newer world are motivated to do what they do, and it's great.
I thought the stuff about the shirt was very sweet and touching.
There was some stuff about Sweet Tooth's shirt, particularly, that was such a big thing back in the old book, and that gets called back here. I agree. Really good issue. Very excited to see how this all starts to wrap up. Going over to Eternals number two from Marvel, written by Kieran Gillen, art by Asad Ribic, where we left off in the last issue. Thanos was attacking some of the members of the Eternals. One of the Eternals had been murdered. Usually not a problem. Turns out it is a little bit of a problem here. We get some big revelations and explanation of what's going on. One of my favorite things about this book is it is revealed. I don't know if it was revealed in the first issue, but it's revealed here in a very funny and very Kieran Gillen way that the person who is narrating this is the Eternal Machine that helps resurrect the Eternals, but that machine is broken. And just the way that is executed, the way that tells the story of the series feels so unique and exciting to me.
The narration is like funny. It's sort of irreverent. It feels like you're hearing Kieran Gillen like basically make fun of the characters in the book that he's currently writing, which I think is so great.
Yeah, I was really impressed with this. you know, you got a big Eternals movie coming out for Marvel. So I feel like this does a great job of getting people excited for that. Eternals to me never really was like something I could latch onto, but I'm really into this book. I think it's a really kind of cool setup of what's the problem is and what's going on and what's going to happen. And I'm really looking forward to it. Art's fantastic. Really fun time jump stuff here. Yeah, and even like there's like sweet touching moments where they make mistakes, and I was really impressed with this. This is a really solid book,
and the art is so good. It feels so like big mythology while also having great comic book action at the same time. Like this comic is really just like delivering on all the fronts you want.
Well, on that note, let's turn up to Low number 26 from Image Comics, written by Rick Remender, art by Greg Tichini. This is the last issue of this book. Ooh. Justin, this has been one of your favorite books for a very long time. How do you think it wrapped up?
Great. Just so good. Like Rick Remender, I don't know how. I mean, we talked to him about this book a few weeks ago when he was on the podcast. And I don't know how he writes his books. Like, when does he think of the ending? Because he really does such a good job with endings in a lot of his work. Like, he's able to tie up the character arcs, the emotional arcs, as well as just the central theme, and leave you thinking and feeling a certain way in his last issues. It was same with Black Science. And this issue is just beautifully done. You see that. And I don't want to spoil too much of it, because I think you really need to read this and take it in. And I want to reread the entire series to really get every ounce of story out of it. But it's about a family at the end of the day, and you get to see that land in a way that is tragic, heartbreaking, but beautiful and sentimental at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the sweetest, most moving way Remender could kick you in the nuts. Like, he's still gonna get you, but this is done so well and it's so moving. It's really impressive. The art is just so, like, a lot of times when you're dealing with different worlds, different kind of like ideas, the art can get too crazy, but it's done in such a way that it kind of shows grace and beauty in different things. It's the layering to it is really impressive. There's different characters that aren't human that are very humanized. It's really, really amazing and impressive the way this all ties in. Like, this got really weird at times, but man, does he land this so, so well. And he does it so well, it really does make you want to be like, wait, I want to go back and see that beginning again.
If I may just get your jacket book quote correct. Mm-hmm. I think it's a beautiful kick in the nuts that makes you turn and say thank you to the nut kicker.
Right.
P. LePage.
Yeah. Next up, Rorschach number 5 from DC Comics, written by Tom King, art by Jorge Fornes. I hesitate to say it was my favorite issue so far, but this is the one to me that really felt like it pulled back the veil on what's happening, potentially where this book is heading.
Yeah.
We've had this guy investigating this mystery. There was an attempted presidential assassination by somebody dressed as Rorschach and somebody dressed as a cowboy. The first couple of issues have been really building up this investigator looking through this mystery. And if I was to purely speculate for a bit, we found out that this cowboy character has been going up to people and telling them, hey, you are the reincarnation of Rorschach. His energy, when Dr. Manhattan blew us up, has gone into various people. You are Rorschach. Come with me. Let's do vigilante justice.
That old pickup line.
I think whether that is true or not, that's what's happening to our main guy, right? Like, he is going to get to a place where either he becomes Rorschach or even thinks he is Rorschach and maybe starts to think this is true.
Well, he believes that he's Rorschach at the end of the day. I think that's
specifically
a smart...
because the theme that Tom King is dealing with here is conspiracy theories. And I think this is a little bit about how the deeper you get into conspiracy theory, the more things start to look like conspiracy and the more it starts to become believable, whether you're investigating it or whether you're the one who's putting it out there.
Yeah, I think that's such a smart take. because my takeaway from this issue specifically, I mean, last issue we talked about this a little bit because it was like tricking people into believing certain things and them taking it to the extreme where they end up believing it above everything else in their lives. Like also very topical thing going on in our real world. And in this issue is about masks. And then we have this character who's running for president to try to take down Robert Redford, who's won for like 5 terms in a row. And he's like shitting on wearing masks because he is so comfortable believing a bunch of nonsense maskless. And the people that wear masks are, quote unquote, hiding their beliefs, their identities, whatever. Yet this person is so brazen and out there saying nonsense. He doesn't have to hide even the craziest opinions that he has. And I really, that was my takeaway from this, is just like the people that wear the mask are maybe the people to trust more so.
It was, I agree with Zalbin. Like a lot more is kind of solidified, kind of click into place here. Tom King just piecemeals information as he kind of like twists and turns stories. But this is one of my favorite issues for sure. And the last couple of panels, just absolutely fantastic and so cool. I thought this was a great issue, and I'm very excited for more.
I agree. Next up, Daredevil number 27 from Marvel, written by Chip Zdarsky, who is on the live show this very week talking about this book. Art by Marco Cicchetto and Mike Hawthorne. In this book, we're dealing with the King in Black crossover while Elektra is filling in for Matt Murdock fighting on the streets of New York. Matt is trapped in prison and has been infected by Null, the god of the symbiotes. So we're getting these dual stories going on, and they're both very good.
I was really impressed with this. I thought the way they kind of handled Matt Murdock's belief in religion and God when it came to, you know, what the fuck is the King of Black? What's his name there?
Null.
Thank you. I thought that was so great and so well explained in such a way that really, really felt like Matt Murdock's character. I was really impressed with that. It was kind of crazy to hear Chip be like, yeah, religion, you know, I don't know, because it really felt like he was coming from a place of for this. But I guess he just really gets in the head of his character so well. But yeah, I thought this was really a great, fantastic, hold it up over time issue of Daredevil. Really interesting. It's all the characters really kind of doing their own thing in their own way, right down to Kingpin and Elektra as Daredevil. I was really impressed with the art and everything that happened in this issue.
It's really rare when a book can continue its story through a crossover, and like the crossover actually enhances a lot of the themes you're dealing with. And this book really does it. And the only scene I was missing was the scene where Foggy was sitting alone in his apartment, which is what he does a lot. And a symbiote comes up, jumps on him, and then the symbiote's like, never mind. And just goes on to just someone else, or just to wrap around a mouse or whatever.
Yeah, well, Foggy wins again.
Next up, Birthright number 46 from Image Comics, written by Joshua Williamson, art by Andre Bresson. This is kicking off the final arc of this book as we start to wrap up this story here. Everybody's picking up the pieces by finally taking down the God King lore. We get some flashbacks back to the world that Mikey and friends were living in for a very long period of time. What did you think about this? I think we felt like everything wrapped up really nicely in the last couple of issues, and now we have more Birthright.
We have this and 4 more issues. This is another one of my favorite books coming to an end in a great way. Like the fact that we had the big battle at the end of the last arc, we get to see sort of a nice epilogue, an emotional epilogue, which is what, again, about family and about what it means, what, despite all the crazy shit going on in our lives, like what do we chase after when the going gets tough? And in this case, family. And I love this book.
It's really dawning on me that family's important. I think comic books might be right. It's crazy. No, I agree, Justin. Like, this is really impressive, like, what they're doing afterwards. You know, like, this huge thing, it's kind of like, okay, on to the next adventure. No, they're really kind of sitting in this aftermath, exploring other things that maybe they could have talked about more while all this madness was happening. I was really impressed with the relationship stuff in this. Very moving. This book continues to be amazing.
Next up, Black Hammer Visions number one from Dark Horse Comics, written by Patton Oswalt, art by Dean Kotz. This is the first issue, of course, of this anthology telling stories about the Black Hammer characters from creators other than Jeff Lemire. We've been really big fans of the miniseries they've been rolling off here. These are these one-shots. I thought this, as usual, was absolutely great. This is a one-shot story that mixes up Black Hammer and Ghost World, of all things, and it works as a coda to Ghost World while still telling a story of Gale from the Black Hammer universe. Absolutely wonderful. I was completely surprised by this. Did not see this coming from Patton Oswalt at all. Really, really good one-shot comic book.
Patton Oswalt really getting into the comic book game.
This was, I was really impressed with this. This wasn't just a comedian doing bits. Like, this was really smart, very moving stuff. Such a cool story, the way everything kind of tied in and fit with this world. I was really impressed with this. I really liked the setting of it. I thought it was great. The art's glorious.
Yeah, really good stuff. Next,
I agree ahead. Like, really, really got into the fact that he was able to bring Ghost World into it. It was clearly something that he loves. He's got some Amy Mann quote lyrics from at the end of the book, and still telling a story that fits seamlessly into this world and is fun, funny, with good reveals. It's really, really great.
Let's jump into our Future State block, where we talk about all of the books that have come out from Future State. Yeah. Just to read down the list this week, we've got Future State Dark Detective number 3, Future State Teen Titans number 2, Future State Robin Eternal number 2, Future State Superman Wonder Woman number 2, Future State Green Lantern number 2, Future State Justice League number 2, and Future State Kara Zor-El Superwoman number 2. I gotta admit, I'm a little slightly with Pete here, where it definitely hit me this week, where I was like, there's a lot of books we're reading. Oh, boy.
Yes. It is a lot, but stories are so, they get to go off in a lot of different directions. And if we're going to dive into our faves, I'm going to give it up for Future State Justice League number 2, which I really liked the way they went here by having the White Martians sort of take over, and it became about like all the different heroes' identities and the fact that they need to connect with each other or else they're just weaker as a team. And I like that as a theme. It was something I didn't see coming, really. And the last issue, they laid it out, and this really paid it off. I thought it was just really well done.
Yeah, I completely agree. I love Justice League. Amazing art. The White Martian story was great. And also having Joe, the new Green Lantern, who's the best Green Lantern of all time, it was just fantastic, and it made the book so much better. And the backup story was great. Magic is hope, motherfuckers. I thought that was great. I thought the Justice League Dark story.
The other thing that I'll mention that I thought was interesting about this week is we're getting two things here, right? One, we're getting the wrap-up of these Future State stories, but also we're getting teases for what's down the road, and DC has started to announce that some of these titles are continuing in different forms. Like, for example, Wonder Woman is continuing as Wonder Girl, so we're going to get that there. I think I'm forgetting which other ones are going to continue, but certainly there's teases at the end of a couple of these for how they're going to flesh out in different storylines. Green Lantern number 2 ends with a tease of Green Lantern 2021, which does seem like, again, Joe from Far Hell Sector is going to be fighting Hal Jordan in some way. So that should be fun to watch. The one that really jumped out to me, I love the first issue of this, and I love the second issue of this too. Future State Superman Wonder Woman, which is of course teaming up the characters, but sending them off on these very different stories. Superman fighting Solaris, the sentient sun. Wonder Woman trying to have a race around the universe with the sun god from her culture. I just really liked how these characters related. I thought there was a fun tone to it. The art was really nice as well. And it felt like an enjoyable all ages title, but with these new Superman Wonder Woman characters. And it made me really kind of delighted to potentially follow them going forward.
I agree. And this felt like really mythological. Like the whole thing felt like it could have been something in the back of like an Edith Hamilton book that you read in school and were pleasantly surprised how much like a comic book it was.
Oh, wow. I really liked Kara Zor-El, Superman number 2, Superwoman number 2. The art was just so phenomenal, and I really liked the character design for a Superwoman. Amazing, just cool ass like dragons. Very, very enjoyable. I've been enjoying that series as well.
Now, let me ask you, Pete, at the end of this book, we leave Kara Zor-El buried next to her dog, Crypto.
Right.
Now, would you feel like if you were like, awesome, I'm shared a grave with my dog, would you be like, that's it? Or in your case, I guess it'd be a cat.
Well, currently, I mean, don't put shit like that out there. I don't want my cat to die, but like...
I'm not saying your cat's going to die, but someday it will.
Oh, that's fucking heartbreaking, man.
Is your cat like a pharaoh where if your cat dies, you have to be buried alive with the cat?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
I hope not. I don't want to do that. But yeah, I thought that was, I love that. I thought
sorry,
that was
Matt, it's
super
in your
sweet.
Cat's living will. It's going to happen. Yeah. I'm your cat's lawyer.
Your cat signed it with a paw.
My cat can't read, so it's going to be fine.
The cat doesn't have to read it.
I explained
she signed
it very
it with
plainly
a paw.
To your cat. Your cat agreed.
And put a little ink.
Are
ink
you
print.
Representing my cat? Then I'll see you in court.
LePage versus Whiskers of some sort.
Whiskers
all
of
the way
some
to the
sort.
Supreme Court. What's your cat's name, Pete?
It's a very long name. I call her Caboots.
Oh, wait,
why
are you saying
are you
we
secret about this?
Do we not have time? Do we not have time to get into this?
it's a very long name.
Okay, well, are you worried about running tape on it? Because I talked to the engineer, and we actually have the tape. We can run it. So go ahead, lay out the whole name. I guess.
Okay, fine. It's Kitten Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind, LePage Thomas.
Aww. That's very cute.
It's very cool.
I call her Caboots.
Well, I look forward to visiting your grave in the Valley of the Wind.
Nice.
Your shared grave.
All right. Why don't we move on from Future State and talk about Critical Role, Vox Machina. There's other things you wanted to talk about. Dark Detective. We got Teen Titans. We got Robin Eternal.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about Dark Detective. I really thought it was a great issue.
Great.
I love this kind of... tech Batman versus future Batman. I'm the two designs are really cool, and it's fun to see them go head to head. And also, guys, so drones are scary, and I'm just putting that out there now. It's drones are going to be very, very scary in the future.
Yeah, you mean the nano drones that are hovering right around your head, as we speak.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sure they're out there. But also, I checked out DC Love is a Battlefield.
Come on, Pete.
And that was really adorable. It was very adorable. They did like a lot of coupling up for Valentine's Day.
He does.
And Tim Seeley did a Poison Ivy Harley Quinn love story. Oh, it was just so great. So touching.
It is amazing how you do this every week in such an odd way. I really like Dark Detective as well. The front story has been one of my favorites of this of this run. And just a quick rundown of the rest. Green Lantern 2, I thought the setup for the next issues I was really into. The Green Lantern 2021 coming forward with Hal Jordan felt like a nice starting point for going forward. And I like the Robin Eternal issue here as well, with Tim Drake really suffering from some juicy Lazarus problems.
I agree. Next up, Critical Role Vox Machina Origins Series 3, number 1 from Dark Horse Comics, written by Jody Hauser, art by Oliver Sampson. In this book, we're getting a bunch of fantasy stuff is happening. What did you guys think?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm just not very familiar with Critical Role. So I read this and I was like, yes, this is a fantasy world, but funny. I get it.
Yeah, I think this is a fun adventure book, you know, a bunch of people teaming up, going on adventures, joining fight clubs. I thought the art's fantastic, some fun storytelling. I thought this was a cool team to get behind. I'm very excited to see where this goes.
Yeah, I agree. I was concerned with the fight club that they fight in teams. And, like, how do you really judge on a team? Like, if we were to fight another trio,
right,
how would we know we were an evenly balanced team?
If we won, we would be good.
Well, so Pete is the tank, right?
No, yeah, that's what we say.
Justin, you're the thief. You're like quick and sneaky.
That's okay.
I'm what, like,
You're the evil mastermind.
You're the baby hands. Every trio has them.
Crucial.
The tank.
Yeah, you're a boss baby hands. I'm a muscle. Baby. And, yeah,
Justin's I'm a boss baby back in business. Now streaming on
Justin's
Netflix.
A face man. He can talk his way into anything.
There we go.
We're quite a trio. None of those things were fighting, by the way, just so we're clear.
Thunderbolts, number 2 for Marvel Comics, written by Matthew Rosenberg, art by Juan Ferreira. This is tying into the King in Black event. Lots of goopy stuff going on this week. More King in Black to come. Here we get a bunch of villains have tried to rescue, maybe, or work with Norman Osborn to find out some information from him. So they spent a lot of time in Ravencroft. Always want to say Arkham, but it's not Arkham. It's Ravencroft.
It's close.
And it's super fun, as usual.
How could you mix those two up, Alex? How could you mix those two things up?
I know. They're two.
It's impossible. They're two very different insane asylums in two very different universes.
You're right. I'm sorry. Super fun bits in here. In particular, and I feel like Matthew Rosenberg is just writing for the bits for some of these things where what is it? Mr. Fear says something to Kingpin. He doesn't realize he's on the Zoom.
Yeah.
And Kingpin is like, hey, Taskmaster, you here? And he's like, yeah. He's like, okay, punch Mr. Fear. And he punches Mr. Fear. Norman Osborn getting too close to the Zoom and his whole face filling it. Just fun. It's a fun book to read. I had a blast reading it across the board.
Yeah, agreed. I think he does great on team books. This was fun. I also really like to see Taskmaster around. So I thought this was a lot of fun. Great Kingpin stuff. The art's great. This is just a fun book.
Yeah, it's a great mix of like real good comic storytelling, good fights, character-driven stuff. Even characters we don't really see a lot. Like I really like this new Star character that the series that we read, you know, like 6 months ago now. Seeing her here, it's great. Really well written, but also very fun, funny. And still tying into this goopy old crossover.
And also, like, you got to be wary if you just find, nobody's just taking a nap in the bush. You got to be careful. That's all I'm saying. I don't want to give things away, but that was creepy.
I hope this comic continues. I don't know if it will, but this is the sort of thing where I could see Wilson Fisk having a bunch of villains going on disposable missions, most of them getting killed, not coming back alive, betraying each other. It's Suicide Squad without the bombs in the head, but it's fun to read, and he's writing the hell out of it. So I'll definitely read more. Next up, Undiscovered Country, number 12, from Image Comics, written by Scott Snyder and Charles Soule, art by Giuseppe Mecconcoli and Leonardo Marcello Grassi. This is tying up the second arc of this book, Unity, in huge fashion, propelling us into the next arc of the book. This is a wild ride as usual. Incredible visuals throughout.
Particularly
with this issue, we had Scott on the show a little while ago, and he was talking about how he and Charles are writing the movie. I do not know how they're writing a movie of this. It's just so big, everything that happens.
It would be crazy to boil this book down to like this arc down to like one set piece. Cause that's what it would have to be, sort of, I would think.
I don't know.
But the comic, you get like the emotional beats are here. It's wild storytelling. There are so many ideas here. I mean, it's the same stuff we always compliment this book about, but they just continue to really find the balance of giving this, like in this book, there's this like very wild escape. It's sort of like, plays like a Super Mario Kart race for a portion of it. But then you get this like really great heartfelt moment where two of the main characters, the brother and sister, are talking to their images of their parents. And it's just like, it's great.
Yeah, it's just, there's so much to this comic. There's so much happening. It can kind of be a little crazy, but man, does it deliver. And the like big monster aspect in this issue was just glorious and so cool. That six shooter was really crazy. This was really cool. Also, like, they thought this place that they're at was one thing and it kind of turned out to be something different. Really great ideas going on in this book. I mean, I did think it was a little bit like, all right, when it's like these young kids and they're like, this is old technology. The first iPod, how do you even use this? I was like, okay, all right. But Really impressive, fun stuff. The art's really unbelievable. This continues to be such a kind of like scratch your head, like what's happening, but then like delivers really well.
Yeah.
And the last page reveal is just 100% fun. It's like, great okay, stuff. Yeah,
let's get I'm fun. In. I'm on board. Love it. Can't wait for the next arc. Next up, The Last Witch, number 2 for Boombox, written by Connor McCurry, art by Vivi Glass. You guys have been buzzing about this book.
This book is buzzing.
First it's issue, so we good. Got a girl in a small town heading off to a witch's tower. Just wants to kind of check it out a little bit. Things pick up in this issue where I was like, did I miss an issue? Is this issue number 3? What's going on here? Because this is insane from the first page with witches eating people and powers and everything. What do you guys like about this book in particular?
Well, first off, like the art is really unbelievable. It feels like an amazing animation in still form. The character design and the witches and the faces and the different kind of like glowing things in them are really cool. This is like moving. It's intense. It's sentimental. The little part where the kid is like, I told you, was so awesome. I'm really, really impressed with this book. I didn't think I would like it so much. The grandma smoking a cigar is glorious.
You love a good grandma.
You love a grandma. And you know that's a blunt, dude. You know she's like,
she's she even tough, says, bro.
She's like, let's get this juniper going around the room.
I mean, honestly, I know we're joking about it, but Pete, you are very into grandmas in comics, from this to Once and Future. I'm sure there's a couple of others I'm forgetting.
And real life. He loves a grandma.
You should release your own podcast where you count down the top 10 grandmas of all time.
Oh, that'd be cool. I could do it. I think this is just... This book really took me by surprise and is really impressive. I cannot wait for more. Each issue continues to give us such a great kind of movement for this story. Yeah, I'm really impressed.
I love the art in this a lot. It reminds me of some classic Ralph Bakshi animation style, getting in like the old Hobbit series back in the day. And it's just to your question earlier, Alex, why we think it's such a buzzy book. It moves quickly. It's both fun, lighthearted, welcoming us into this world. It's scary at times, but it's always just like driving the story forward in a well done, confident way. Yeah. It's just a good book. There's a little mystery going on at the end. We get a lot of mythology building here, and cabins in the woods. Watch out.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. That has been our Buzz Busy Bee book of the week. Let's move on and talk about American Vampire 1976, number 5 from DC Comics, written by Scott Snyder, art by Raphael Albuquerque. Talk about things getting big. This issue, our heroes are fighting a bunch of giants, encounter a council of vampires. Tons of mythology dump in this issue are going on here as we're entering the end game, seemingly, of American Vampire. Another great issue, but it's just wild to me that we are so far into the run of this book and they're still laying down huge pieces of the mythology. That's very impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it all fits. It all feels like very deliberate, and they've done a great job of setting up a villain that is worse than everything else before we've seen before. And the way that they're able to keep Skinner such a central part of this character, despite the fact that he's been devamped and he's just sort of like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just hanging around. And he's still such a fun character is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scott Snyder knows what the fuck he's doing when it comes to writing comic books, because this is really impressive. So well done. Even after all these arcs, you would think that like maybe the ideas would get a little like, all right, we're going to try. But man, just delivers hard on every issue. The last panel reveal on this was really unbelievable. I can't say enough about the art. These two teaming up is just magic.
Next up, Black Panther, King in Black, number 1, written by Jeffrey Thorne, art by Jermaine Peralta. In this issue, as you can probably imagine, the symbiotes are attacking Wakanda, and they start to fight back. What did you think about this issue? Another book that feels like it was inspired by, hey, what characters have black in their name? Let's put them in the King in Black event. But Yeah. Personally, I think it panned out a lot better than you might expect based on that.
I was really impressed with this book. Also, I didn't expect to get choked up, but there was a moment where Black Panther and Siri see each other and kind of like give each other a hug. And I got a little choked up because I was like, that's never going to happen in the TV or movies. And we're never going to get to see that. And it kind of got me a little bit, which I wasn't ready for.
It's funny you say that, Pete, because I was thinking the same thing. It's so rare, I think, in a comic book where from the adaptation to the movie has such an effect on reading the comic book going forward, because I do feel when I see Black Panther, I'm just like, oh, there's a loss there. There's a loss tied to the character in a way that like it's never happened to me before, and I just can't imagine it has happened before. And to see this, like, I don't know, does that harm the Black Panther character in the Marvel Universe, the fact that Chadwick Boseman was such an icon for the role and then died? And is it going to stay with us for forever, I guess?
Yeah, I'm saying. I wonder, because it's like, you know, the comic came first. They should be able to do what they want. But, man, it was just I was having a hard time reading it. I was really getting choked up and being like, I don't know. Like, would you just say serious Black Panther and like not kind of deal with it just so you don't have these kind of reactions? But that doesn't seem fair.
I do think there's something to be said. I agree with you guys. I had the exact same reaction emotionally. And there was a brief thought of, like you're saying, Pete, should they retire T'Challa as Black Panther for a while, which sounds insane. But just to get around that uncomfortable, sad reaction that you have. But I would say no. You know, you keep it going because it is a tribute to how powerful he was as the character, that even though he passed away in a very untimely manner, the character continues and it does pay a tribute to him by continuing to exist, by continuing to have these ventures. And as long as they keep being good and they keep treating the character in a good way, that does pay tribute to Chadwick Boseman's performance in a back way as well.
Now, I do want to talk a little bit about this issue, not, talking about that. I thought this was a great issue of Black Panther, a lot of cool things, and the kind of callback to one of Black Panther's, like, enemies was such a cool idea to help kind of stop this menace. I was really impressed with the writing on this, and there's really kind of cool like beast showdowns here. Wow, what an awesome issue. What amazing art. This was really cool.
Next up, Bliss, number 5 from Image Comics, written by Sean Lewis, art by Caitlin Yarsky. In this issue, we're getting a bunch of backstory about what's going on with our father character, who is going up against the main antagonist of this book. We find out how he broke out of the hold of this drug. I guess you can kind of call it a drug. Bliss, how he worked his way forward. Meanwhile, we're following his son as he's trying to track down his dad, I believe. Still some incredible imagining coming out of this book, even 5 issues in.
This reminded me of, like, and maybe this is a stretch. You tell me. It's like a reverse Neverending Story.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
It's like the dad, the kid is hearing the Neverending Story. The dad is going on the adventure, and the kid is sort of hearing the dad adventure.
Not so much a reverse Neverending Story as a Neverending Story.
You know, when instead of the kid being directed to the drug, it's the dad, and then
what I was thinking of was the fact that it's the dad going on the adventure, and the kid is hearing the story is what...
Riding a dragon means drugs, and then, you know...
I always describe, I don't know if you guys do this too, but I always describe 13 and going on 30 as like a double reverse pig.
Exactly. And you talk about that a lot, especially in your work as a critic.
Yeah. I try to relate everything back to 13 going on 30 if I can.
Seminal movie.
Yeah. I thought this was a really beautiful issue. Unbelievable. This story continues to move forward in a great way. You go from absolutely hating this dad to maybe there's something that could be done. I'm just really impressed with this story. And then fun kind of like join us next time. And they got the AOC with the scales of justice. I thought that was crazy cool. Character designs are very interesting.
I will say to Pete's point, I don't think it's actually AOC, but the woman in the preview for next issue looks just like AOC.
No, it's AOC, dude.
Next up, Orcs, number one from Kaboom, written by an art by Christine Larson. This is pretty much you could do what you could expect from the title. It's a bunch of adventuring orcs. Because it's Kaboom, it is very all ages. I thought this was a delightful, fun book to read with some great character designs. I enjoyed this quite a bit. Pete, I imagine, given its similarity to other things like Headlopper and whatnot, you might have liked it as well?
Oh, I really loved it. I especially loved the first story. Thought it was really cool. It's fun to see kind of things that are cute be violent. But man, yes. Just
like,
fun.
Usagi Yojimbo, that little bunny.
Yeah, yeah. I think that it's, don't call him little, you fucking.
I bet you weren't like, going to take the bait, and then you did.
He was like that fish that kind of swims by, and you're like, I missed it. And then it's like, ooh, what's that? Is that a worm?
That fish. I love worms. I love worms. I'm a fish. I love worms, even though I never encounter them because I live in the water. But let me try that worm. It's like exotic to me because they live over the ground.
Yeah, the art in this is really cool. It's all ages, but it really it doesn't feel like it's pandering to children or anything like that. There's a lot of cool action and adventure. I think this is a cool book.
What I like about this is it's sort of like an orc never-ending story.
I found it to be more of a 13 going on 30 myself.
Oh, wow. I really did. I did like this. I think especially the first bit that ends up being the grandma orc telling a story. Pete, grandma orc, you must be like basically coming in your pants because you see another grandma here.
I wouldn't go that far, but then I like how the grandma trips out a little bit. That was fun. Grandma's like, yo, story time's over. I'm getting fucked up.
I liked,
would you not like to go that far because you like to edge around grandma's? What's going on?
What?
Yeah.
What are you saying?
Grandma edger.
Never mind. It's not important.
I don't know.
Scott,
I don't get it.
Got him. Got him.
Salvage broke, man.
Anyway, good book.
Yeah,
good book.
Homesick Pilots.
I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm
Pete,
doing fine.
You're trying to take the baton, Pete? I don't know.
Yeah,
go for it. Homesick Pilots, number three from Image Comics, written by Dan Waters, art by Casper Wingard. We've been really enjoying this book. I think it's so many things at the same time, but essentially it's about a girl in a punk band, maybe a heavy metal band, who discovers a haunted house, has to recover a bunch of ghosts. But it's so much more than that. So many different things going on. It ramps up the premise at exactly what's happening every single issue. Ends with a wild visual at the end here. This is great. I really enjoy reading this.
Me too. This is one of my favorite books, favorite new books out there. Talk about visuals, the visual of the sort of videotape ghost was like haunting.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
For sure.
I want to see that in some sort of movie or film or TV show. So good.
I also really like the lessons in this. You know, they're like, yo, if you're going to join a band, it is hard. It is grueling, and you might get trapped in a house and not be able to make it out. So you got to be ready for that. Also, don't fucking go into other people's houses. All right. It's not going to end well.
Oh, two lessons.
But the art is just fantastic, and they really try different, like the crackly, like black panels that they have that look like an old book in the middle of the comic is just really cool and creepy and sets this cool tone. They keep using this like shot of like this window in this creepy house, like almost looking like it's about to explode. I'm really impressed with what they're doing with this book creatively and how they're telling this story. It keeps being just fantastic every issue.
Great stuff. If you'd like to support our show, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about comic books. iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe and listen to the show. comicbookclublive.com for this podcast, and more at Comic Book Live on Twitter. Until next time, keep those grandmas coming. Pete can't get enough.
What are you doing?
Enjoy your marathon of Golden Girls, Pete. You're gonna fucking love it.
You're weird, man. Every Tuesday night, yeah, once a week, that blows your mind.